say, I'm a God that demands complete obedience. Man looks at partial obedience and they say, well, that's better than nothing and that'll be fine. But the Spirit of God says, I will never be satisfied with less than my children's all. I want all their heart, all their attention, all their obedience. Come on, we need to make sure tonight. God wants to deliver us from any situation where the enemy might be hindering us. I think that, you know, I keep seeing myself stand here in front of this cross. You know, and if my desires and my wishes is standing in front of the cross, and then I'm here trying to see what Jesus done for me, but I can't see the spiritual for the fleshly, for the carnal. I can't see the victory. I can't see the answer because the flesh is in the way. You know, but the moment I submit to what God's asking me to do, I yield to Him, I trust Him, then all of a sudden we start walking in the Spirit. And He said, when we walk in the Spirit, we will not, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh disappears and you see the cross. The cross is the victory. The cross is the answer to everything because the cross brought Jesus, the plan and the will of God, into fruition in the believer's life. Amen? So it's for us. So we need to make sure that we get self out of the way. Right. I believe the Lord is really wanting to deal with us about some things of 100% obedience. You know, we look and we think, well, 90%, that's good enough. No. Not tonight. God's dealing with us. Amen? He's talking to us about some things. He wants everything you've got. Yes. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at something then. Put Sister Victoria, put Acts chapter 9 up there. I want us to look at something. You know, you can know this Bible inside and out and not be on your way to heaven. You can have a relationship with a religion and not have a relationship with God through Jesus. A lot of the world, they know about God, but they don't know God. So look here, I know you know this this story, you're familiar with it, but let's look at it in the connotation and the direction the Spirit of God is going tonight. What I've determined to do with all my heart is to follow the Spirit of the Lord. And so, I don't know where we're going or what we're going to do in the natural, but I know that God does, amen? And so, I heard Him speak these verses, and so I don't know. I don't have anything prepared in this direction, but I'm just going to trust Him. Amen. So you can follow with me if you want to. If you not, you can watch a train wreck. But I'd rather you follow with me. Amen. Okay, Acts chapter 9. Look at this, verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, talking about the Christian way, whether they were men and women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to think about the apostle that's going to be. See, before he become the Apostle Paul, he was the religious Saul. And so he knew God's Word. I mean, just think about it. He could quote the first 5 books of Moses. That was his requirement, being trained up in the law of the Pharisees. He knew the Word. So there's a lot of people in the world tonight, they know this Bible, but they don't know Jesus. And you and I, if we're not careful, we'll let the devil trick us into letting us think that we know Jesus. But Jesus said, if you know me, you'll love me. And he said, the way you can tell if you truly love me, John 14:15, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, his word is his commandments. And so if we don't know His Word, and if we don't follow that spirit of His Word, we're liable to end up like Saul is here. Saul is in a place where he thinks he's doing God's work. You know, there's a lot of people, you talk to them, they say, well, I'm serving God. Are you? See, there's a lot of times I thought I was serving God too, but I wasn't. I was serving a religion. I was serving actually the religion of self. And so I had to get myself out of in front of that cross where I could get into the Spirit and get out of the flesh and see what God truly had for me, what He desired for my family and me, what He wanted us to do. And God wants us to be in the place and the position to see that we're here to build people up. And religion will always, 100% of the time, tear people down. It'll put them in bondage. It'll tell them they've got to do this and they've got to do that. They've got to act this way, talk this way, dress this way. That's not Jesus. Jesus deals with the heart, and then all of those other things, they just take care of themselves. Amen? Now notice what happens here. You know the story. But it says, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. I'm going from memory, but I believe Damascus, I believe it means sack full of blood, doesn't it, Sister Victoria? So I want you to see the significance here. He's coming to a place where he's fixing to meet the blood of Jesus. So, I mean, everything in the Bible happens in a type and a shadow to show us from the earthly perspective what's happening in the spiritual perspective. Okay, notice this. And suddenly, God is the God of the suddenlies. Aren't you glad? There shined right about him, right about Saul, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. To see, when you and I, when we truly see the light of the Lord, when the light of the Lord shines into our heart and we recognize where we're at, we're recognizing what we're doing, what we're saying, how we're living our life contrary to what God would have for us, contrary to God's best, contrary to the victory that Jesus through the Word would bring us, all of a sudden it's going to take us to a place where we have a suddenly moment. We have a realization that, hey, things can be different. Things can be better, amen? And what happens to him? And as that light shined around about him from heaven, verse number 4, and he fell to the earth. You and I, this is submission. We've got to see that we get off our donkey, off our high horse. See, he was riding that donkey in to do his will and his plan. But when we get off of that and we get down and this is a type of, in the Old Testament, where they would put on sackcloth and ashes. In other words, complete submission. When we humble ourselves because we've seen the light. Jesus said, I am that light, John 9:5. He said, I'm the light of the world. And he's named us his light in him. But when we truly see that light, we will submit. We'll get off our will and our plan. We'll stop riding our way into the place of persecution and we'll submit to Jesus. Now see, he's in a struggle. He's in a struggle. He knows what the Old Testament says. He knows all of those things, but yet he has no love in his heart. He has no victory in his life. See, religion will not give you victory. Religion will not give you peace. Religion was not the answer, but Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen? So he falls off of his own ideology. He falls off that donkey and he falls to the ground. And as he fell to the ground, he heard a voice saying unto him. Tonight, if you and I, if we'll submit, if we'll say, God, I'll get out of your way. I'll get out of your way and I'll sit down in you. I'll lay down in you. I'll humble my face before you, and you will be able to hear some things you never heard before. Just think, tonight God's got some secrets. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the Lord, He has secrets, and it's your joy of the king to search it out. Kings and queens in Christ, you are His priesthood. And you can search out these secret things. Amen. They're there for you. They're hidden. They're laid up for us from the foundation of the earth. But we've got to get low to be able to hear them. We've got to submit. Now notice this. As he fell to the earth, he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, you and I, we've got to realize that everything that we do and say, it's not against a person, it's against Jesus. when we're kicking against the pricks of the will of the Lord, we may be fussing and fighting. We may be in confrontation with somebody in the natural. But what it really boils down to is it's against Jesus. And so we've got to see that in this moment of time, this spirit of Antichrist is moving through the earth and it's trying to stir up division. It's trying to stir up hatred and anger. It's trying to put race against race, faith against faith, class against class, all of these things. Jesus is not that way. Jesus is the number one unifier. He's the number one denominator. He brings everybody together. Amen. And so we've got to hold on to that. And we've got to see that if we will be in this place like this example of Saul, it'll change everything. Now notice, he said in verse number 5, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" All of a sudden, when you see the light, when you recognize that because you have got off of your position of self and the desire that you would have in driving your own life, and you come down to where you can really hear from the Lord and the light will shine into your life. Jesus, He is not somebody that you've heard about. He's not somebody that you've even may have talked about. He becomes Lord. Lord. And this is getting Paul in that position of being able to be born again, to be able to be saved and changed forever. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to see that Jesus wants to be the Lord of every area of our life if we'll only submit to Him. See, I can be blessed in 90% of my life, but this other 10% that I never submit to Him in, He can't bless it. He can't be the Lord of it. If I won't give it, He won't take a piece of it. Right. He wants it all. Right. And so we want to allow the Spirit of God just to quicken us and to show us if there's something that we're holding back. Now notice what He says. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks?" This word pricks is... a Greek word, kentron, and it's like the point on a compass. See, when you were born, Jesus placed you in this moment of time, and He placed His compass, the Spirit of God, inside of your life to point you and to direct you in His perfect way, His perfect will, into where you would be successful, and you would be satisfied, and you would have a strategy above Satan. Come on, that's by the unction of the Holy Ghost, and that you need to write that down. That's powerful stuff right there, because God wants us to see that that's for us, and that's what happens when we submit and we get born again. Now notice this, verse number 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" All of a sudden, when he sees the light and he gets off of what he wants and his desire and his plans, and he meets Jesus as Lord, everything that was driving his life, everything that he thought was so important, everything that he was willing to fight for, everything he was willing to give up to attain that was not right, that was out of order, he says, "What do you want me to do?" See, that's how I can tell if I'm truly, completely, 100% submitted to God. Because only when I get to that place of complete, total submission will I say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Amen. Let's be honest with each other, because there's a lot of things we've talked to God about, and there's a lot of other things that we put behind us. We shut them up in the drawer inside the closet and say, "God, we talk about all of this, but we're not going to talk about that. Because I don't want to deal with that right now. I don't want to do what you're wanting me to do." Every one of us, we'll be honest, we've been in that place, in that situation before. Amen? But God wants to help us with it tonight. He wants us to see that there is a grace to receive from Him, that when we see the light, when we see the truth, and we submit to that, that grace will empower us, and it will put us in that place and position of success. You're destined for success. See, with your submission, you are assured of success, because you're not looking for God to be on your side, but you've got on the Lord's side. And when you're on the Lord's side, remember Joshua is bringing the children of Israel into the promised land. And when he gets in that one place, in that one position, all of a sudden he sees the angel of the Lord. And he asked him what, Brother Corey?
Are you for me or are you against me?
And what did the angel of the Lord say?
Neither.
He's for the Lord, right? See, so when we get with the Lord, we have all the heavenly host, all the angels that's working with us because we're willing to work with the Lord. Success. Success. That's what He wants for us. All right, now notice this. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go. See, we've got to be able to give a message to people. Yes, you submit to the Lord, but when you submit to the Lord, He lifts you up into a new level.
Yeah.
See, the devil wants to say, oh, your humility is costing you so much. It's robbing you from this world's best and all. Thank God. I don't want this world's best to you. I want heaven's best.
Yeah.
And so with his submission, all of a sudden, and as he calls Jesus Lord, and he has this experience, this moving that where his spirit is forever changed by the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to him, Jesus then says to him, arise. Come on, God wants to bring you up tonight. He wants to bring me up in Him higher than we've ever been before. Don't you love that? He said, arise. And so as soon as God raises you up, then He says, I'm going to tell you where to go, where it'll get better and better and stronger, and you'll be in a place of revelation to be able to see what you've never saw before. I want to see that, don't you?
Amen.
All right. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him, with Saul, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. Come on, he was physically blind. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Aren't you glad that God's got servants? See, Saul needs somebody. Guess what tonight? There's somebody that only you can minister to tonight. See, Ananias is not a preacher. He's a layperson. He's just a believer. He's a disciple. See, every one of you and I, we are disciples, but we have a calling. We have a responsibility. After we get born again, we don't live our lives under ourselves, but we live our lives under the Lord. And when we live our lives under the Lord, we have the opportunity by the Spirit of God to touch and change somebody's life. Think about the reward Ananias is going to receive, because the Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of this New Testament. Ananias has got a part in all of that. Just think what role you're going to have in somebody else's life because you help them. You get them on the right path. You get them in that place because you choose to submit. Thus, you have the power and the anointing in your life to cause and able to give a vision of somebody else to submit. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. Now, verse number 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Verse 12, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, Jesus told his disciples in Mark 16, he said that there would be 5 signs that would follow the believer. And the of those 5 signs, laying hands on the sick and they shall recover, right? That's a promise. And so here Ananias, having this relationship with the Lord and being in this place, he's going to be able to bring Saul into a relationship with God as a Paul and cause him to come from... So many times we submit, but then we don't want to rise up in God.
Amen.
See, he submitted and then Jesus said, arise and go. Well, he stood up and he went, but he had to walk by faith. And tonight, you're going to have to stand up. I'm going to have to stand up. And we're not going to really understand what we're doing or where we're going, but we're going to walk it out by faith. And after you walk it out by faith, then you're going to understand why you did what you did tonight.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So, see the Spirit of God in Ananias' life. And you and I, we've got to see that the same Spirit of God will work in our life and will bring us revelation, bring us unction, bring us direction to be able to be a blessing in our family, in our community, as far as we can believe for. All right. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, see, you and I, the Spirit of God, he talks to you. He puts stuff in your heart. And then God will send a brother or a sister. He'll send somebody across your path, and they will confirm that word to you. Because we don't have prophets like we did in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they done foretelling. But the prophecy in the New Testament is forthtelling. In other words, they confirm what's already put in your heart. And so, can you imagine, the Lord has done spoke this into Saul's heart. And he's confirming it into Ananias. And when he sends Ananias in there, can you imagine the move of the Spirit, the anointing that come upon these two men? The anointing that caused all of Saul's life, all the teaching in the flesh that would cause him to be blind spiritually, all of those scales fall off. And now he's going to see and understand the full vision of God. That's going to change the destiny of the church as you and I know it. That's why we're sitting here tonight. So you see how important it is to have complete submission. God hadn't changed. God wants you and I to see that what He once done, He will do again. And there is no new thing under the sun. There's just times of building, times of tearing down, times of planting, times of what? Of plucking up. All of these things. There's a time for everything under the season of heaven. And you and I want to be in perfect time with the Lord. Okay. Notice this. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now notice this. And immediately, from the Greek it says directly, at once, instant. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and he was baptized. So, he was literally baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. But here he obeys the ordinance of the church and he was water baptized. But I want you to see how the scales come off because Ananias, he submitted to God. And Paul submitted to God. See, complete submission brung the will of God. And it was bigger than these two men ever dreamed of. Ananias, he didn't have a clue when God spoke to him this, that he was going to go and lay hands on a man that was going to be able to write 2/3 in the New Testament. You realize that some of the people that you're praying for, there is no telling how your prayer, your love that God has gave you, for that person, your desire that God has placed in your heart for that person or that family member, there is no telling how that is going to come back in your life. Submission. See, willingness. God says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, God is not mocked whatsoever a man, a woman, a boy, a girl sows, that's what they shall reap, right? So you're getting yourself in the place of a harvest with your submission because the thing that you need the most is the thing that you need to sow, The thing that I need the most is the thing that I need to sow. And so when we sow these things into the Lord, it brings the will of God, and it touches more than just our lives. It touches the whole world. God doesn't think the way we think. Remember Isaiah? His thoughts are, His ways are. And so He wants to bring us up by the Spirit into His way of thinking, His way of talking. And if we'll do that with submission, it'll make the impossible possible. All right. Verse number 19. And when he had received meat, think about this, not just in the natural, but think of it in the spiritual. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul, certain days with the disciples, he was there certain days at Damascus. But verse number 20, and straightway, directly, that same word is immediately as the scales fell off his eyes, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him, verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them, which called on the name of on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? What a change. What they said, this is the man who was trying to destroy the church. But now he's the man that's trying to build the church. See, all of a sudden then, Saul, the struggle about his identity, the struggle about being... See, you can be just as successful as you can be in this world. Saul was very successful. He's on the Sanhedrin. He's on the board. I mean, he's in a place of prestige, a place of honor. But every day, because you know what it was like before you submitted to Jesus, every day was a struggle. Now the struggle, he is fighting the good fight of faith. But the good fight of faith is that he's going to what? He always has the victory. Come on, that's what he told the church at Corinth. He said, but praise be to my God, because I always have the victory. Come on, you have the victory in submission. In submission. And your submission, it affects so much more. We just get so... finance, so focused on our own little life that we miss out that our decisions impact so much more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for taking us in this direction tonight for whatever reason. We don't know, we don't understand in the natural, but in the Spirit, Lord, we choose to submit to your word. We choose to follow your Holy Spirit. And we ask right now that supernaturally that the light from heaven would shine into every one of our hearts. Lord, we ask that this by the power of the Spirit that you, if we have our own agenda and we're driving our own life in a certain area, we give you permission and we expect you to knock us off where we can submit and come to that place where we're low in you, where you can give us the word, the command to arise and go. We want to climb higher in you than we've ever been. And we want to go and do what you've called us to do. Lord, let us hear those words down in our heart tonight. Let it be for your glory, Father. Or we ask you, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. Let your Spirit move in our hearts right now. We ask you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Just... open up your heart just for a second. Let's just let the Lord talk to us. I want you to know that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the smallest of detail that may be keeping us from the biggest blessing. Now hear that. The smallest of detail that may be keeping us from the biggest blessing.